Hi, I'm Patrick McBriarty.
And I'm Christopher Lynch.
And together,
we are the hosts of Windy City Historians. On this podcast, we will share and discuss Chicago history.
And some great Chicago stories.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Windy City Historians podcast.
Episode 2, Finding the Place Called Chicago.
I was trying to figure out what was this place called Chicago, which was named because ramps were growing there. 34 years later, I know. I'm John Swenson. I'm a retired lawyer, historian. I have been studying the early history of Chicago for 34 years and doing original research, in the course of which I developed my motto, which is don't take yes for an answer, because what I found very early in my research is that everybody else is wrong.
And at the end of the first episode, Swenson says, if you know where the portage is and you read Marquette's words, he tells you where he is.
Where this place, Chicago, is.
Right. And sets up the second episode.
As a matter of fact, we owe a debt to Father Marquette. He was briefly stationed up at the Holy Spirit Mission, maybe a year, something like that, in 1669. Mm-hmm. And Marquette writes, the Indians, the Illinois people that visited him said, we'd like you to come and visit us. And he interpreted that as a come and evangelize us. I think they had commerce in mind.
Right.
Like guns and liquor.
Yeah, more mundane.
Definitely. His mission, his self-assigned job, was to evangelize the Illinois people.
Right, as a priest.
As a matter of fact, it became an objective of Joliet as well. So how do you find these people? Well, he found out because the Illinois people coming and visiting him at the Holy Spirit Mission up at Madeleine Island, they had information from this map made in 1640. They call it the Taunton map. The principal source of information on this was Jean Nicolet.
And this was the research they did before they left.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. When they were coming up the Illinois River, and they knew how to come up the Illinois River because they had this information.
Yeah.
Rivers are winding, and you could get lost.
Sure.
And getting lost means
death, potentially, yeah.
It could be. It's pretty serious.
Yeah.
Everything
is... You
don't
pull over your canoe and just ask for directions, right?
Marquette gets back to the mission at St. Ignace. Off and on, he's sick, and his superiors say, no, we're not going to let you go out in the woods again. And he says, I got to see my children, the Illinois. They finally said, okay, kind of like you're on your own. So Marquette comes back with these two guys, Largelier and Porterette. So it's the three of them, and they're wintering. They're probably staying in Indian huts because they describe being in, the word is cabin, which it's a hut. It was something that was already there. See, his objective was the great village of the Kaskaskia. Marquette, he's telling you where he is. At one point, he says he's camped 2 leagues from the portage.
Yeah.
I won't go into all the details. I can just say that I found that continental divide, again, down between Frankfort and Madison.
Mm.
Well, Joliet said that the portage was a quarter of a league, which works out to be 6/10 of a mile.
Mm.
Then he said, you know, it'd be easy if you just cut a canal through this divide.
Yeah.
You'd have a continuous water route from Lake Erie to the Gulf of Mexico.
And connect the two watersheds, yeah.
Which was, boy, oh boy, that's a way to get all the riches of the Midwest back to France.
Right.
So where exactly is Chicago in this context?
The portage is still there. in Marquette's narrative, he wasn't making daily entries.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's like the 29th of March in 1675, there came a thaw.
Yeah.
And the ice all went out.
Yeah.
And like really in a rush. And the ice and the water flooded in, mm-hmm. flooded the river where he was camped. And he says they had to put their stuff in a tree and they had to climb up on a butte. He uses the word butte. And in French, it means an isolated hill, which I call it the Marquette Mound.
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
Right.
Sure. Right.
He's the guy.
Yeah.
He's the guy there. That identified
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
One number that's in his text, the water at another on the other side of the portage had risen 12 feet.
Wow.
That's a lot of water. Yeah. Because he says he's camped 2 leagues from the portage.
Yeah.
And that is critical because you got to know how long is a league.
You know how long a league is. You put those two factors together and you have your eureka moment.
But it only takes 34 years to get it all.
Well, yeah, because right. I wanted to be sure because,
yeah.
you know.
So that 2 leagues, then that was the key that, and you knew the portage. So
it was about 5 miles. And so what I did, and I took a piece of string and laid it out on a topographic map, and holy smoke.
So you've got your string and your map.
I'm looking for this, a butte that's about 2 leagues from the portage.
Yeah.
Because 34 years of research, and there it is. I say I was in tears.
Yeah, absolutely.
Father, yeah. I have found you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have found your campsite.
Well, it all finally matches up.
Right? This is holy ground.
It's a remarkable discovery.
And later, like last fall, I was doing research. I figured it was some kind of an Indian mound.
Ah.
And then they registered the site with the State Archaeological Survey. So it has an official number, which means that site is now protected. You couldn't even take a teaspoon of earth out of that mound.
And that's state law, is that right?
Under state law.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, this thing is big. It's like 100 meters long and 35 meters wide and 3 meters high. What the hell is that? It's like a civic center. It's like the spiritual center. It's like their Vatican. And it finally dawned on me last week.
Garlic, just a coincidence then, or how does it fit in?
And the clue, of course, was maple trees, which make maple syrup, which Joutel made in 1687 at the place called Chicago.
Ah.
Here we go. We are approaching the mound. To this day, the world still gets jazzed up about the solstice. They may just not necessarily know why.
Yeah.
There's something about the light coming back. There's a hope to that.
Yeah, for sure.
For humanity. And this mound helps confirm that.
That one felt pretty good.
That was good. Thank you for listening to
the Windy City Historians Podcast.
Episode 2.
Finding the place called Chicago. Join us at the end of April to hear the full version of episode 2, The Place the Indians Called Chicago.